Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
Sox Machine.
Jim Margulis, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast.
There are a couple guys, especially the up-the-middle talent, to where they are good. They are dynamic. They can make the game look easy. They just have to really revisit what went wrong training-wise and communication-wise with the training room.
The Internet's longest-running White Sox podcast.
That period of time where the White Sox were spending over $50 million on the bullpen makes me think there was some mismanagement. And I think the Kimbrel trade bailed them out a little bit.
Managing editor of SoxMachine.com.
Rick Hahn often manages the team like he's going to be the one cleaning up the mess 8 years from now. If they do sign that Marcus Semien deal, if they do sign that Manny Machado contract, like other GMs would say, I'm going to go for glory and at least have a ring to show for it.
Jim Margulis with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
Bernstein and Holmes with Layla Rahimi here on this Friday. It is time now to talk White Sox with Jim Margulis. He's on Twitter at Sox Machine. He joins us not just on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, but right there, there he is with his Sox Machine logo hat on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Jim, what's happening, man? How are you?
How dare you keep me waiting with your good vibes and friendship?
Yeah, right? Sorry. So sorry about that.
I am, Jim, I'm in a dark place right now. Because I listened to Matt Spiegel this morning, mentioned the James Fox note about the connection to the 2017 prospect class and the modern White Sox team currently on the field, even including their minor league call-up they just made. What do you know about 2017 and how it's affecting this team? And why do I hate myself for not knowing all of this sooner? Because I feel like I've just entered the third act of a movie where I finally found all the information.
The White Sox have really kind of cornered themselves with just how they've drafted, how they've selected players, how they've pursued plate discipline through the draft and through high draft picks versus like being able to pay for it, being able to develop themselves. And that's how they end up with so many guys like out of position and such a compromised roster, is because they just, they're cornered. It's tough to work themselves out of it. And they've had to scramble working their way around their limitations with just who they can play defensively and when guys getting hurt and such. So it is, the fact that they're still only like, half dozen games out of first place feels like a minor miracle.
It does. It's just, it's crazy to me that so many people from that one prospect class are now on this team. When you consider Clint Frazier, Andrew Benintendi, Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, and then Lucas Giolito, Yoan Moncada, and the list goes on to be pretty extensive.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, Clint Frazier feels very much like a rebuild season acquisition, former first round draft pick, freely available. Let's see if we can dust him off and turn him into something, whether he helps us or whether he's a trade asset down the line. And all of a sudden, like, he's getting important at bats. Maybe they're short-lived important at bats, depending on whether Eloy can stay on the field for any length of time. But still, like, it brought back memories of like 2018 or 2019. to where, you know, just looking for anybody to help, anybody who comes up on the waiver wire or who's, you know, freshly DFA'd. It was a bad feeling of just all those years of watching, like, oh, maybe this guy can help. And you realize that, oh, he's, you know, that guy is done, or that guy's been hurt. That guy hasn't been the same since injury.
There's a reason he was available. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron Hicks becomes DFA, like, and the White Sox use him. I see that pop up on Twitter and just like, oh, it's, we're back to that. And, they shouldn't have been.
I felt that way about Hunter Dozier. I thought about it immediately. I'm like, except if there's one situation where they know there is too many players, that might be the type. But I did think about it briefly. It did cross my mind for that same reason.
Yeah, it's depressing.
To what extent are you alarmed by Lucas Giolito's performance?
They were due for a clunker. I think they had 11 starts in a row. If you count like the Jimmy Lamberts, Jesse Schultons, hybrid appearance, opener appearance, that they had 11 starts in a row that were at their lowest, reasonably effective. And then you had like Michael Kopech at the top throwing, you know, near perfect outings and just it dominance with his fastball. So they were due. So I don't want to make too much of one, because one out of 12, you expect every rotation to have that kind of, turn, even if they are facing AL Central teams, and every AL Central team just basically has a terrible offense right now. I think my concern, if anything, was that he just looked a little bit undone, and he was battling the pitch clock a little bit, which we really hadn't seen from any White Sox pitcher. I think like Reynaldo Lopez has been the closest to feeling like he's been compromised or rushed by the pitch clock. Yeah, Giolito was ahead of it first, getting warnings for, you know, getting set too quickly before the batter was set, and then he had a violation. So he did seem like he was a little bit battling himself, and you hope that it's contained to one start. But I think starting pitching has been the least of the White Sox problems right now, and a big reason why they've been able to dust themselves off a little bit and get out of this this real dire situation they were in and be a more ordinary kind of below average.
I also was thinking about what you said about the Sox record this year in first games in series and how we've seen that play out. This week is a good example. We saw what happened in Cleveland, that 3-0 loss, where frankly, I felt like Jesse Schultons deserved better. Sox managed only 3 hits in that game, Cleveland only 4, but it didn't matter. And then we see it come up again in this past game against Detroit where they lost. What are your thoughts on this pattern continuing and how you've seen it play out?
I guess we'll find out if it's a pattern or if it's just the way this White Sox offense's weakness manifests itself and just, you know, happens to be well-timed that's the first of 3. Because like even at their best over the stretch, the White Sox offense has mainly been okay, or they've had like one good inning, or in the case of Cleveland, they got some help from the Guardians to score enough runs to win that game. We're watching them, like, even when they're good, scoring about 4 runs a game, which isn't a lot. So it makes this recent starting pitching streak that they've been on really well timed and really well put to use. So like, it feels like it isn't so much like a preparation thing. Like, you know, we hear about it with basketball teams coming out of a timeout, or, you know, football teams coming out of a quarter, out of a half and not having like a great first 15 plays. I don't know if baseball can really be, you know, rounded down to showing up in a new city and being rusty. I think it's just a matter of like the offense is not the kind where they can keep the line moving. That's not what they're naturally good at. We've heard Jason Benetti and Steve Stone make offhand references to the Feldco read for the White Sox walk coming really late in games all the time. And when it shows up in the first inning, they make a note of that, how early it is. So they don't hit relievers well. So if they don't hit starters well, it feels like they're kind of behind the eight ball and really have to do something they're not wired to do in order to get back in the game. So it's a flawed offense, and you hope that maybe, you know, if Tim Anderson's legs ever come back, or if, you know, Eloy comes back, you might see a little bit more life, but they're getting by right now. And I think if the White Sox have any kind of identity, it's really the starting pitching and a bullpen that's coming around as well to be okay in the run prevention department.
This particular roster, like you say, and I do think Clint Frazier is sort of emblematic of it, but seeing Romy Gonzalez being given another shot here, it's funny what it reminds me of. And I don't know if you're a golfer, but You know the feeling when there's a club that you just can't hit for some reason, and it's always random. It might be your sand wedge, it might be your 8-iron for some reason. So Barry Rosner has this theory: you have to put that club away for a while. You like leave it in the garage, and then you leave it there for a week, and you leave it in a dark room, and then you can just use it again, and the club will have learned its lesson. That's how it feels like with Romy Gonzalez. Like he was bad. He made some mistakes. You didn't use him. And now it's like, all right, fine. We'll dust you off again and we'll see what you got. And he's been okay.
Yeah, he's been okay. Like I've felt bad about the conversation about Gonzalez all year because it feels like it's not his fault if he's not quite ready. He had a rough year last year. He had injuries. He had tonsillitis. Like he probably shouldn't play in the majors as much as he did last year. And he's just kind of thrown into these situations. And he's made himself likable, I guess, to the coaching staff to where they really want to keep giving him opportunities. And if he had to go down to Charlotte and need a little bit of a tune-up because of all the reps he missed last year, that wouldn't have been like unreasonable or wouldn't have reflected poorly upon him. So like I've been confused this whole time about how it's been handled, but there is like a reasonably talented player underneath it, especially with his athleticism. If he can put the bat on the ball and put the ball in play and make reasonably decent contact. Like you can see his legs in action. You can see him run. He can cover some positions and it's probably more of a matter of reps than talent when he makes a mistake here and there, cause he's played all over the field. So there does feel like there's like a credible bench player in here, mm-hmm. but as we saw last year with Larry Garcia, they tend to elevate these guys and needing them a little bit too much because of injuries above or because of just belief in the guy that hasn't quite manifested itself in the field. And it'd be great for a number of reasons if he turned into just that decent bench player that the White Sox could really use as long as they put him in positions to succeed. But, you know, that's kind of a theme for when it comes to talking about the White Sox is, you know, whether it's, you know, Romy playing too much or Gavin Sheets or Andrew Vaughn in the outfield or, you know, Tim Anderson at leadoff when his legs aren't there. Like they tend to put guys in a position where they can't succeed. And it's really not their fault if they fail in that regard.
Jim, are you concerned, or how much are you concerned, if you are, about what we've seen out of Andrew Vaughn for the past two and a half weeks?
I am concerned because, you know, in his couple years in the majors, he's had a theme of finishing the seasons with a fade, and we've heard about his back and we've heard about his legs, you know, the foundation of his swing. And when that power disappears, that's where my mind first goes is, you know, are his legs 100%? Is his back 100%? Because, you know, back problems, you know, as we've seen many, many times, can linger and can resurface and can really sap the power. And my judge of gauging how Andrew Vaughn is doing is based on how much I have to watch Andrew Vaughn run. If he's functioning well, like you see him coasting in second base with a double, he hits the occasional homer. He looks like a 20 homer guy hitting the ball hard. You know, it's fine. Yeah, that's a case where like maybe he's not, you know, exactly Jose Abreu in his prime, but he will serve the purpose well at first base. When he's not going well, it's just a lot of Andrew Vaughn running, trying to beat out grounders, trying to beat out double play balls, having to score all the way from first base and, you know, being held up by Eddie Rodriguez at third. It's not a lot of fun. And so, you know, my reflexive, that's kind of like the point I visit when watching Andrew Vaughn is, am I watching him run a lot? If so, that's not good.
Is Andrew Benintendi playing like what they thought they were paying for? Because I can't answer what they thought they were getting. I just see a guy with a WRC plus at 86 who has yet to hit a home run and is a major league left fielder. I kind of don't get it.
I think they're paying for, and this is the tricky part about like guaranteed rate field, is that it's a great place for lefties to hit. We saw it last year with Gavin Sheets having really favorable home splits. Sheets does not like crush the ball all that often, but he can get good lift and he can hit the ball like 99 miles per hour. And sometimes that's good enough to get the ball to coast out to right field. So I think sometimes it leads the White Sox to have a little bit of like misplaced confidence or, you know, bank on that a little bit too much with left-handed bats. We saw with like Nomar Mazara a couple of years ago. And now we're seeing with Benintendi to where like, this will be the environment where he can break out. And I think with Benintendi, like most of his game is there. He's playing a decent left field. Like you don't have to worry about him in left field. That's what the White Sox wanted there.
But it's left field. You don't have to worry about left field even with his bat.
Yes. Yep. But I'm just saying like he was left field only. So that's like, you know, that you can check that box off. He's getting on base well. Like the at bats, you know, at bats, He's making good swing decisions. He's not chasing anything. He seldom looks ugly. So they're getting the professional bats there to where, like, you can bat him first or second and feel like he might score sometime in that game. But the power, yes, the power is like the missing component. And really, he hasn't come close to hitting a homer. I remember, like, he hit a ball fairly well to the right side. And Jason Benintendi used the used the word waylaid to describe the contact. It ended up hooking like short of the wall down right field wall. Like, that's good contact for Benintendi. It's just not getting close to the wall. So, you know, that was my reservation when they signed him, is like, he's fine. Like, he's good if he's like your second or third best outfielder. He can't really cover any roster spot but his own. He can't hide any other deficiency on the field because he doesn't produce enough to be good enough for two roster spots. And it's a weird guy to make the highest paid player in franchise history, somebody who can't pick up the slack for anybody else. And I think that's my concern, is like, when he's not doing exactly enough for himself, that's kind of bad, because like, he was already expected just to cover his own position and nothing else.
And I think it's the argument that you always hear people say as well, and they'll bring up the average, because he does have one of the highest averages on the team. In fact, in yesterday's lineup, it was the highest average, because he's still a few points ahead of Luis Robert. So it's a case where maybe perhaps an incredibly glaring one where that is not buying anybody out of the eye test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a case where, like, you know, using stats like WRC plus and OPS plus, where they adjust for the ballpark and just for the environment, like, he's hitting like Kauffman Stadium, Andrew Benintendi, which maybe the White Sox should have expected. But because he's playing in a much hitter-friendly ballpark, especially for lefties, like, lefties should hit homers at Guaranteed Rate Field. That's where you see the contextual stats drop and abandon him, basically, and make him look like a, you know, replacement level or barely a replacement level player. And maybe that's not his fault. Maybe that's just a case where, you know, he showed some ability to lift the ball when needed. So the White Sox thought, well, he can just do that again. But if everything's not lining up for him to hit those homers, then he's just a kind of a fill-in left fielder who's fine. And he would be fine, or more than fine, in other ballparks that maybe don't reward homers and don't make pursuing homers as valuable, like Kauffman Stadium was. Like, he was a three, you know, WAR player in Kauffman, because like, it just, a lot of guys don't hit homers there, so he can stand out there. He can't really stand out at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Well, somehow that's your bet. Who hits the first home run? Is it Tim Anderson or is it Andrew Benintendi? These are debates that you don't want to be having as we get closer to Memorial Day. So have a terrific weekend, Jim. Enjoy, and here's to the Sox bouncing back.
Thank you, Jim.
I like how our conversations always wrap up on that note.
Well, it's
goodbye.
Not our fault. Just like it's not Romy Gonzalez's fault that he's Romy Gonzalez.
That too.
Yes.
That too.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Margulis of Sox Machine. There is
with a wonderful background.
Always.
Yeah.
There is a major name that just hit NFL free agency. We should discuss and have some fun with how sometimes in Chicago and on these airwaves, all things lead back to the Bears. On the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Let's dance, let's party, let's boogie.
It's Friday, Friday.
It is. And it is the Friday before Memorial Day, so we're not going to be here. We're going to be off for Memorial Day. I think I am going to be golfing, I hope, if things work out well enough.
We're going to be outside. We're outside.
Well, I mean, I'm not golfing inside. I'll be outside also.
It's just a way to say you'll be out and about.
But the Score has a full day of programming for you. If you tune in on Memorial Day, we're live 7 to 10 a.m. It's going to be Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito. From 10 to 12:45, it is Mark Grody, and that will take you up to the Cubs and the Rays pregame at 12:45. Following that, it is Gabe Ramirez until 8 p.m. You want to listen to it? Well, download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Just search 670 The Score and hit play. You can find us on smart speaker, too. Just tell your device to play 670 The Score. DeAndre Hopkins, the veteran, productive wide receiver, the 30-year-old, has been released by the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are going to assume the entire dead cap hit because it's before June 1st. And because he's a vested veteran, there's no waiver process. He is just out there and anybody can pick up a phone.
We knew this was going to happen, right?
I think so.
Just didn't know how. I thought that maybe he might get traded or they might get something, I guess, in return, but that is not happening. And of course, I think, what was that?
That was her again. She was still singing.
Oh, I thought she was saying hi.
She was. She hadn't stopped singing yet. She just wanted us to know she was there.
We're about
I do wonder
about the Bears. I did. I wondered about the Bears when I first heard about them getting a new head coach in Arizona. And I was like, oh, man, there's going to be some people who will change because there's always people who end up going different places when that happens. And I thought about DeAndre Hopkins.
From what I've been reading, it would seem that DeAndre Hopkins would, if he is choosing his destination,
it's not going to be here.
It's probably not going to be here because they're already, I can't believe I'm saying this, because there's already a clear number one here and others, if indeed Darnell Mooney is healthy, and that he wants to be a set top target wherever he goes. But I still would pick up the phone. Because why wouldn't you want him around?
Bingo.
Right? This isn't, you know, he's not like he's some kind of troublemaker. This isn't your Jalen Carter calculus on this. He would make them a much better football team.
When I met him after he got drafted, you know what he told me? I was like, oh, like, who did you grow up watching? Or like, who are your favorite players? He's like, my favorite football player is Johnny Unitas.
What? That's a lie.
No, he went into the whole explanation as to why. It went on for about 5 to 6 minutes.
Could you distill it down to why his favorite football player was a guy he's never seen play?
He said he like watched old videos of him. I guess like it was one of those things where he was exposed to his play in school or something. And like just watched videos. There was some video he caught and like he just was kind of inspired by the guy.
Okay.
I'm like, it wasn't a conversation where we were on camera.
Interesting.
It was like just us shooting the breeze.
Johnny Unitas. Okay.
And it was a day where he and J.J. Watt were at Minute Maid, and J.J. Watt took batting practice, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. R.I.P. to all of the baseballs.
Really?
It was that good. It was ridiculous. And yeah, DeAndre Hopkins was really cool, and yeah, Johnny Unitas was an inspiration of his when he was younger.
My earliest sports television viewing memory was Johnny Unitas. When I was 3, I was told by my dad to remember this. Unitas was a Charger. I think it was 72 or 73. And he was on the screen. And my dad said, remember you saw Johnny Unitas play. And I did.
Oh.
And I remember exactly where I was. And I remember seeing him in a Chargers uniform.
That worked out well.
It's more than any Chicago sportsman. The two things my parents told me to remember, of all things, it was that. It was Johnny Unitas as a Charger, and it was Nixon getting on the helicopter.
Oh, those are some memories.
It was Richard Nixon walking up onto Air Force One, or Marine One, I should say, and turning and doing his victory signs.
Oh yeah,
and boarding the helicopter, and those are my two earliest television memories, I believe.
So Adam Schefter notes that on the I Am Athlete podcast, which is always, I think that's a fun listen. Hopkins said that the 5 quarterbacks he would most like to catch passes from,
yes,
were Josh Allen,
yes,
Jalen Hurts,
yes,
Patrick Mahomes,
yes,
Lamar Jackson.
Yes, I'm sensing a type here.
Justin Herbert.
Ah! Oh, you had the Justin too. Ugh, damn it.
That is a really good list though. Like that's
when you said
he
Justin,
listed the top 5 quarterbacks in the league.
That was like when they gave the Academy Award to Mark Rylance, and Mark Ruffalo was like, oh, okay,
well, whatever. We're here, whoever, call us.
Whoever pays him the most money, he can change that list at any time.
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but once again, a person who I think his life could be much different if he changed teams and got a change of scenery.
All roads lead back to the Bears. We know that. When in doubt, talk Bears. Well, first of all, yesterday on The Score, it was Joe Girardi, the former manager and now broadcaster and former Cub catcher, now marquee broadcaster, talking to Parkins and Spiegel about his true sports love.
I'm a Bears fan. I mean, I grew up in Illinois. I'm a Bears fan. I was a huge Walter Payton fan back in the day, and I remember like Bobby Douglas and like Reeve Sorey, and you know, obviously I was right in the middle of my college years when the Bears won the Super Bowl, and you know, it was fun to be here in Chicago.
Are you a Justin Fields believer?
I am. Right.
That did not sound convincing.
No. I want to explain that, right? I don't think that Justin Fields has been able to show all that he's able to do. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why they don't throw the ball 40 times a game, but I want to know if he can do it, right? I want to find out, like, can the Bears' offense be, I mean, because he's so mobile, can it be where they throw it 35, 40 times a game, and what happens? Right. So, you know, I think it's unfair to judge him at this point because it's never really been completely turned over to him.
And also on the Parkins and Spiegel show, they were talking to the Kansas City Royals second baseman, the Brother Rice High School product, Michael Massey. And of course, what did he have? Bears thoughts.
Musin Muhammad was one of my favorite receivers. You know, this is probably not going to go over well, but I'm a huge Jay Cutler fan. Loved watching him play quarterback.
I mean, he might be the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, so it's okay.
It's a bit of a controversial topic, but yeah, I loved Cutler. Loved, obviously, that 05-06 team with Urlacher and Briggs and the defense, and, you know, Devin Hester is one of my favorites, so just a huge Bears fan, so happy there's some excitement around the team this year.
Are you a Justin Fields believer?
I am. I think he's unbelievable. You know, especially it's funny being kind of having, obviously our experiences are different, but you know, being a young guy in a professional league and trying to, you know, navigate your way through it, to watch someone like him, you know, where he's at in his career, be able to make some of the plays that he makes. Like, it's just, there's a certain respect to have for him because it's just such a difficult thing to do. And actually one of the guys he reminds me of a lot is our shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. Where you can just, I mean, you could just see the superstar in the making when you watch him play every single day. And that's kind of really how I feel with Fields when you watch him out there and some of the plays that he's able to create. And, you know, I think he's got a really bright future.
We love cross sport comps. Always fun.
I'm here for the Justin Fields believers.
Thanks to our guests today, Jason Goff, who was just an absolute force of nature, as he always is.
I love that show. I love you guys' show.
It's just, he's so much fun. Jim Margulis joined us as well. We thank Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, and we have Cubs baseball coming your way. Have a safe, healthy, happy, peaceful Memorial Day weekend, and enjoy. We will talk to you on Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.